Borough Highland Zoning Board meeting, May 5th, 2011.
All right, we can call this meeting to order. You can make me read this?
I'll go.
You've been doing it.
Pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As per requirement of Public Law 1975, Chapter 231, notice is hereby given that this is a regular meeting of the Borough Highland Zoning Board of Adjustment. No requirements have been met. Notice has been transmitted to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times. Notice has been posted on the public bulletin board.
Roll call.
Ms. Ryan?
Present.
Mr. Fox is absent. Mr. Anthony is absent. Mr. Gallagher?
Here.
Mr. Britton is absent. Mr. Knox?
Here.
Mr. Braswell?
Here.
Mr. Kutash is absent, and Mr. Cervantes is absent.
Okay, we're gonna change the order of the agenda just a little bit. Oh, no, we're not. All right, quick check this first, okay. We're just going to have the, do a review of an application and get the Quick Shop application on the calendar. So this is zoning board, 2010 Quick Shop Corp., Block 108, Lot 1 and 2.01.
Good evening, members of the board. My name is Dan Madrid. I'm an attorney from the law firm of Fox Rothschild. I'm here on behalf of Quick Check. It's good to see everyone again. As the board may recall, this is a bifurcated use application. Quick Check received use variance approval by resolution on, I believe it was February 2nd of 2011. And Quick Check has since let the expiration period for time of appeal expire. We're now back before the board with completely engineered plans. And so I'm here tonight for a completeness determination on our application.
Have you received a copy of the letter from the engineer?
I actually...
It's a short, it's...
I have not received one yet.
It's dated 2 days ago. It basically says he finds the application complete, so...
Great.
Uh-oh. I just pushed a button. I got up strong.
If the police come running in, don't be alarmed.
You're like, oh, thank you for still ringing.
This is what you're referring to, right?
I stood up and I, sorry.
Can you reset it?
Did I?
Hit the button again.
Oh, push it again?
The secret's out. Okay, yeah.
Okay, so now you know, so don't misbehave.
Yeah, it just came.
You're not the first to do that.
He's saying that everything's okay.
Well, they put it, yeah, I know, they put it right there.
Chicken drink.
So engineer said it's complete, right?
Yes.
Have you closed on the property yet?
No, we're currently doing our environmental due diligence.
That was gonna be a question. So how does the remediation of the property affect what you're gonna do?
Sure. That's something I'll be discussed during our, during the hearing. We currently have an environmental consultant, Malik Tully, looking at documents from ExxonMobil. We're reviewing it, and we're also negotiating an access agreement with ExxonMobil so that when we come onto the site and begin our operations, they'll have access and there'll be no interference with what they're currently doing. We're also reviewing the documents to be fully aware of what exactly is going on in the property and to make sure everything proceeds despite our operations.
Because I thought when you were here last time that you were saying that you were not going to buy the property unless that was resolved. Has there been a change in strategy now? Or did I misunderstand?
It's actually, no, if I understand the contract correctly, and I'm actually not speaking firsthand because I did not negotiate that contract, there is an environmental due diligence period. And if there are certain, what I understand is that so long as ExxonMobil continues to be on the hook for the remediation, we will close on that property. And so that's really the issue as far as what they're looking at.
Okay.
So you're going to be proceeding on the assumption assumption that that's done. So if you get the approval, you have the approval in hand, and if they don't, if it doesn't come out the way you think, you just won't build. Is that the gist of it?
No, it sounds to me like you're saying you're going to build as long as ExxonMobil maintains the liability.
Right.
If we receive their approval, correct.
Well, that's a different. No, you know, if ExxonMobil, I think you're saying now, if ExxonMobil stays on the hook, which means it's still their liability.
Right. Right.
You could be operating and running there for 15 years, and they could still not have cleaned it up, theoretically.
My understanding is that it depends. We have to determine, first of all, how long it will take for the remediation to be completed, and that's part of what we're doing now in terms of our due diligence. I do know we've received the materials. We have 40-plus documents. I think what QuickCheck is doing at this point is to get a real grasp of what's going on. And what I'd like to say is that when we come back in our hearing, we'll be able to better represent what exactly was going on, what the time frame is going to be, and we'll be able to make a representation as to whether or not we think it's going to be completed at what given time and how that's going to affect our construction, if at all.
Okay.
Well, I would move to put this on the calendar. June 2nd, if that's what you want.
June 2nd.
You'll be ready
for June.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll make that motion.
All right. I'll
Carol.
Second it then.
Huh?
Well, my brother is Ryan seconded. Right.
It's going to be easy to do.
Roll call.
Ms. Ryan?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Knox?
Yes.
Mr. Breswell?
Yes.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
On the site plan application, Mr. Madrid, when you serve, you're going to serve notice of the site plan, so you have to get a new list.
I did order one.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
Okay, next is a continued hearing on Zoning Board 2010-2 Metro PCS, New York LLC, Block 108, Lot 2.01, the same property. That's the first time ever that we've had the same two applications on the same property and never mind on the same night.
Just by way of background, Mr. Chairman, this is the third night where something substantive will occur in this case. The first night was September 2, 2010. The second was March 3 of this year. This May 5th is the third night, and I told I contacted Mr. Beck before tonight to alert him to the fact that we didn't think we would have a full complement tonight, and I thought we'd have a maximum of five. I guess that was partially correct. We now have four, but at least it's a quorum, so we can hold our meeting. And different members are in different stages of not being currently being able to vote, either because they didn't hear a tape from a meeting they missed, or because they weren't yet members. Although one of the members, Mr. Knox, who's here this evening and was here on the March meeting, I believe he'll be listening to the tape anyway for the September meeting, so that should help that part of the situation. So with any luck, since we won't be voting this evening, we should have hopefully a full complement or close to it for the next meeting. So that's where we are membership-wise.
So is what you're saying, do you anticipate finishing tonight?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So, Mr. Grimm's not here. So we'll finish the hearing tonight and vote next time, assuming everybody listens to the tape. Is that what you're saying, Greg?
Yes. Actually, I've had some discussions with Mr. Beck before and Mr. Braswell, and I indicated that I thought it would be appropriate when we finish the hearing if he submits a memo to the board at least 10 days ahead of time, and we'll have the benefit of that. I'll also submit something to the board. So when the board deliberates, they'll have the benefit of both of those items, and plus having heard the testimony for decision-making purposes. So we should be, I don't know why we wouldn't be finished tonight. We should be able to finalize it at the June 2 meeting.
Okay.
For the record, Michael Beck of Herring, Deep, and Axtanzia, I'm Dunn and Beck, appearing on behalf of the applicant, Metro PCS New York LLC. Mr. Baxter correctly pointed out that our last hearing was May 5th of 2011.
That's today.
Oh, excuse me. March 3rd of 2011 was our previous hearing. In the interim, I received correspondence, copy of correspondence from Mr. Baxter dated April 11th, 2011, and it contained a subpoena for the testimony of Ms. Louise Davis, I believe.
I have not met, well, I met her on the way in. There was only one lady in the room, so it was a pretty good guess other than the reporter, so that's Ms. Davis behind me.
And as I also guessed that was Ms. Davis, give it the courtesy to the board. If the board wants to hear from their subpoenaed witness first, I have no objection to that.
That's good.
It's, you don't have any more professionals?
I do have more professionals, but I know the board.
She may not want to be here all night.
Okay.
It's okay with me. It's up to the, as long as it's up to the board.
Okay, that's fine. Okay.
Oh.
Good evening.
Ms. Davis, want to raise your right hand, please?
I will.
A testimony you give before this hearing will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And you want to give us your full name and your address, please?
Yes, Louise B. Davis, 1 Scenic Drive, Highlands, New Jersey, and that's Eastport.
Okay, you can have a seat. You know,
thank
stand.
You.
Why don't I do some preliminary questions, and then I don't know how much with some basic things we want to get on the record here. Ms. Davis, what's your capacity with Eastpoint other than a resident?
I am the president of the East Point Condominium Association.
How long have you been president?
This is my fifth year, completing it.
All right. And are you familiar with the name Metro PCS?
I am.
And has there been any contact between that organization and your board regarding a potential antenna, a wireless antenna on your building?
There has.
Okay. And do you know how far back in time that contact goes?
Because I was subpoenaed, I took the liberty of checking with Wentworth Management, who runs our office, and I got a little timeline prepared. So the first contact with our association through management was on April 3rd, 2008. And that was an initial request to see if East Point was interested in a site. We have other cell towers, as you all know. By May 1st of 2008, after the board had been provided with that request, at the instruction of the board at the time, seating board at the time, our treasurer contacted Metro PCS, and at that time, through an email, said we were not interested. We were again.
Who said they weren't interested?
The treasurer of our board, Pat Gallagher.
The treasurer
representing the association.
East Point told mm-hmm. them that East Point wasn't interested?
That's right. Correct.
May of 08.
May of 08.
Okay.
Again, in September 3rd, 2010, we were contacted by site acquisition officer or person, David DiStefano, wanting to revisit our interest in having the cell tower located on our building. And at that time, we had a change in board members, and our board said, absolutely.
And when, I'm sorry, when was that again?
What?
September 3rd, 2010. We then
absolutely, meaning you were interested.
We were definitely interested. The economy has certainly changed, climate's changed, and we have space. So,
do you have more space now than you had back in 2008?
No, we have the same space. We have a different membership on the board,
right,
and a different way of looking at our fiduciary duties.
Okay, but you do have space.
We have space.
Okay, good.
And that was determined at site visits. Design visits were scheduled and conducted in October of 2010. November in 2010, new site plans were developed with Metro PCS. By February of 2011.
I'm sorry, when did the site plans were developed? When is that?
November of 2010.
Is that by the Metro people?
Engineer, Metro engineers, okay. Highland Fire officials, because we also had that concern. And we also included our Garland roof warranty people to come and be part of the discussions so that we weren't jeopardizing any of our warranties. I think we were trying to be as thorough at this point as possible. By February 8th of 2011, we had a new site plan drawn up. We had a new lease proposed with an addendum. And again, management requested a structural report to be performed by Metro PCS. So we've had lease negotiations ongoing since these site developments have occurred, and we are currently in lease negotiations, which obviously I won't reveal what they are.
Right.
All right, now this, I don't know if you've seen this before. We had an exhibit.
I haven't seen any of the applications.
It's only, it's an email.
I saw two emails, one from Pat Gallagher, and then there was one from a Rick, I want to say his last, I forgot his last name, he was a
Kleckner,
yes. Our manager was out on disability for 6 weeks, and Rick was for replacement from Wentworth Management. And we saw that one liner. I don't know how he felt emboldened to send it, but he did.
Was he authorized to send it?
Not to my recollection, but Pat Gallagher would have been.
And Pat Gallagher is that
she's the treasurer of East Point. Okay. It's a woman. She did send what I would consider the official saying, no, we weren't interested, on May 1st, 2008.
And it's 2 years earlier.
That's correct. Earlier. Okay. So I don't know when is that date?
It's dated September 9 of 08. So that's like 4 months after you decided, is that?
I think we were, yeah, that's the one that I had seen.
Did I have the date right? Yes, September 9, 08. It's one line.
It's all right, I saw it.
You've seen it, okay. So that was,
I just don't
that,
have
that was what you referred to as the determination, the 08 determination.
Actually, I'd seen that. I don't consider that one as valid as Pat Gallagher's. Pat Gallagher is an officer of the board.
And does hers say hers the same thing effectively?
Yes.
Okay.
She is articulate and says at a meeting of the board.
This name is, I'm clear. You had the site plan and drawings and the inspections done all in February of this year?
I think they were started in November.
It was started in November. What happened is something started in February, you said.
By February, we were into negotiations with a new lease.
Okay, so it's weird, like 3 months.
We've been ongoing since October with design and...
Okay, so all the design stuff...
That occurred in the fall of 2010.
Okay. So
revisiting.
Without getting into too much the confidential stuff and the dollar amount and all that, but you know, it's February, March, April, we're in May now. What's holding it up?
I think that the last email I have is dated April 8th, 2011. And there still seem to be, remember, our attorneys are now involved once it's a lease negotiation.
Uh-huh.
So we were talking about starting dates, and we were talking about our concerns for security deposit. Real nitty gritty.
So the only thing is the things you want to agree on between you and Metro.
That's correct. Okay.
Has there ever been any outside influence that would try to suggest that you would not be able to do it whether you wanted to or not?
Not from any of the officials that we've contacted so far. I do believe that one of the final pieces of the lease will be that structural piece.
Oh, you're still waiting for that?
I think so.
Has either side, when I say side, Metro or the board, told the other they no longer wish to continue their discussions or negotiations?
Not since April 8th of 2011.
Okay. And is the board's position today the same as you described earlier last fall, that they are willing to
I have only incumbents that will be elected at our annual meeting. May 11th, which is next week, so I don't anticipate any change, although we will act in a public community, for the community, but the community doesn't get to vote, we do, even though it is considered a change to our common areas, we still have that authority to do that.
does the entire board change an election, or is it only certain members?
She just said everybody's.
They're all the same, but yes, it's a 3-year cycle. So
for all of them, the entire board.
I think we've got them all now in a 3-year. There have been staggered years, but yes, I think they all serve 3 years now.
No, I don't know if you understand my question. In other words, do they all start and end at the same date, their terms? Or does some like one
July
year, and next one is another
3 years?
Well,
it used to be that way. Now we've got them
now
all.
They're all the same time?
Yes.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. So we don't know what's going to happen later in the month.
Well, we won't know. 3 years from now? No, I don't know.
Is this one that just happens? The election's next week and nobody's contesting the incumbent's running.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yes. So I'll have the same
people.
Same folks. Until next year when my term is up and Pat Gallagher's term is up and I don't remember who else.
So the terms are staggered.
Right.
Okay, all right, they're staggered.
Okay. But you anticipate having the same board through at least
this
July
next fiscal year.
Next July of 2012.
Right. June 30th, 2012.
Board other question?
Not at this time. Thank you.
So maybe Mr. Beck.
So I get the feeling that it's your desire to come to an agreement so that you can have the cell towers, well, not towers, but the cell antennas for mutual benefit.
That's correct.
Okay.
Did someone make a determination at your end or at Metro's end and then told you that there was a sufficient place to place it and not interfere with the others? Was there any, was that?
That was worked out with the Highlands fire officials.
Okay.
And with our management representatives, including our superintendent of the building. So there were on rooftop walkthroughs.
So you have space.
We have space. Okay. Depended on the size of their equipment and how they were going to either put a privacy panel at. Yeah, you know, there were lots of things to be worked out, but we thought we had gotten to that point.
Okay, just raise another question. Is it your understanding from your negotiations? Are you actively involved in the negotiations?
No, I am not.
Metro PCS?
I allow management to.
So the management company is doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how often do they report to you?
We usually get at least every 2 weeks at a minimum, but the manager herself corresponds with the board president daily if she has to. I mean, that's part of our bylaws that I'm included in the loop.
Okay, in terms of the type of equipment that Metro PCS wants to put on top of your building that you say you have room for, is that still an item that's being negotiated and that's subject to negotiation, or has that been settled?
I'm just looking at this new site plan and seeing if there's a date on here.
There's usually little blocks.
Well, let me show it to you.
We get copies of that and put it in there.
That's really my working document.
No.
I mean, we can provide it.
It says, yes, there's 3 dates. The oldest date, well, they're all pretty close together, is 10/22/10, then the next date is 11/1/10, and the next date is 11/9/10. So it's all within a.
Because those were the timelines that I told you in the fall of 2010. They were having the official walkthroughs and.
But the most recent, to answer your question, is November 9 of 2010.
Okay.
So that's the most recent one you have.
Right.
Okay. Is your testimony, Ms. Davis, that the equipment that Metro PCS wants to put on your property is acceptable to your board, and it's acceptable to the fire officials of the borough of Highlands and your engineers and their engineers, and it's not what you're negotiating over start dates, I think you said, and something structural.
We will require, or I believe they will incorporate in the lease, what they're calling
structural report.
Okay, and when you refer to they, who do you mean?
Metro PCS.
If Mesa, Metro PCS is requiring a structural report.
They will provide a structural report. I don't know if our attorney requested it. Not sure.
Okay.
But it will be part of the lease. And the other factors that are on the table now have to do with specifics of the lease, security deposit, when rental fees were commencing, and there were some other issues that have already been worked out between the attorneys.
Okay, but right now you're just down to dollars and cents.
That's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. And starting dates, which I'm not sure that they can commit to if they don't have this resolved. So I don't know. I can't speak for them.
Well, locating it on East Point, it would be completely independent from here.
Okay.
If they get...
Well, not really, because they have to come here and get approval.
Oh, well, okay, when I say here, okay, I mean...
They have to come to the
municipality. Yes. That for, piece of property.
Not for zone.
For, that, right,
for this application is a separate issue for locating on East Point.
No, I can't speak for them anymore. Yeah, I can only speak to what I have.
That's what... So I think we're
done with this witness, right?
Well, Mr. Beckham, maybe you answer questions, I don't know.
Hi, my name is Michael Beckham, the attorney for Metro PCS. Good. You stated earlier that Metro PCS first contacted East Point or Wentworth Management in April of 2008, is that correct?
Yes.
And you stated that you've been the... board president, or at least a member of the board for the past 5 years.
Yes.
Is that right? Did Metro PCS contact you in 2007?
Not to my knowledge.
Did Metro PCS attempt to negotiate a lease with East Point for over a year in 2007 and 2008 prior to your board deciding that you didn't want it anymore?
Not to my knowledge.
When Metro PCS approached your board in September of 2010, did they present you with a new lease at that time, or a proposed lease?
I don't know.
Do you know whether or not Metro PCS made East Point and the board aware of this application in September of 2010?
Don't know.
Was your board aware at any time that there was an application pending before this board for extension of an existing monopole at the Stewart's property?
I wasn't aware of that, so I don't know if the board was.
When did you first become aware of this application that's going on this evening?
Well, I received the subpoena in early April and probably heard through the grapevine.
So
I live in town.
Is it your testimony that you had no idea that Metro PCS was going to attempt to get approval to co-locate its antennas on the Stewart's roof of your monitor?
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
Are you telling the board that the first time you've ever heard about the application that they're hearing this evening was when you received a subpoena?
No, I probably heard of it before that.
Okay. And was the board aware of this application?
I can't speak for other board members.
Well, you're president of the board.
But I still don't know what their knowledge is.
Did they discuss it at the board meeting?
Yeah.
One at a time, please.
Can you just repeat your answer?
I'm not aware. I can't speak for other board members as to their personal knowledge.
Did the board ever discuss this pending application at any of your meetings?
We did not.
When Metro PCS presented leases or proposed leases to East Point in early fall of 2010, do you know whether, as a result of that, Metro PCS adjourned these applications?
I don't know.
From an initial contact in September of 2010 to today, you're talking about 7 months approximately, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And as we sit here today, does Metro PCS have a lease with East Point?
Not an executed lease.
Is there any type of lease that's been fully negotiated? Is 7 months a reasonable time in your estimation to get a lease for a piece of property?
I think it would be a reasonable time.
You think it's a reasonable time?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be reasonable if you were attempting, just for example, to lease a condominium in East Point Do you think 7 months would be an acceptable time for you to still not have a lease, or would you go somewhere else to live?
I'm sure I would go somewhere else.
I have nothing for you.
Any questions from the audience for the witness? Nope. Seeing none? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Davis.
I have one more question for Ms. Davis.
It's because I'm blonde, aren't
Oh! I'm actually partial to brunette.
Okay, there you go.
You're saying the board wants to do a lease with Metro PCS, and that there's, and all that's stopping it now is dollars and cents. Is that what I heard?
I said that it, all it is a finalized negotiation.
Over money?
Yes.
We don't really need to know.
Right. I don't know if that's, now we got to explore that. I don't know if that's what you said before. No, I'm confused now.
When you're talking about.
I understand security deposit
okay,
is money.
That's money.
I know that.
And start a payment
start
of rental
dates.
Is
yes.
money.
Right.
But so it's fair to say it's dollars and cents related.
Are you arguing about the annual lease amount?
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't really matter what the content of the negotiation is. But as far as you're concerned, the negotiation has not concluded and failed. You're still, both parties are still talking to each other. And
as far as I know, April 8th is pretty current.
Okay.
Let me follow up on that question. Ms. Davis, to your knowledge, did Metro PCS give East Point deadlines upon which they had to execute a lease?
I don't know.
Thank you.
Was there any time that was talked about having the lease come to be? They were saying, you know, perhaps in like July or August or October, you know.
The board members don't get involved with ongoing negotiations. We review the final. That's up to our management company to do and our attorneys.
Okay, any more questions? All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Sure. Well, that's a worse different color. That's a worse different color.
It's white chocolate.
My first witness this evening is Noelle Muller.
I swear the testimony you give before this hearing be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, I do.
State your name, spell your last name, and give your address, please.
Noelle Muller, M-O-E-L-L-E-R, and it's 130 Clinton Road, Fairfield, New Jersey.
You may sit.
Ms. Muller, by whom are you presently employed?
Metro PCS.
And what is your job description or job duties at Metro PCS?
Once a site is selected, site acquisition, so we oversee the leasing, zoning, and permitting process of a site before it goes to construction.
And that's your job duties?
Exactly.
And it was your job to oversee the leasing, zoning, and permitting with regard to the site that's before the board this evening?
Correct.
I'll offer Ms. Muller as a fact witness with regard to Metro PCS's involvement in leasing for the site and for East Point. Okay. Ms. Muller, can you please tell the board when did Metro PCS first approach East Point with regard to co-locating antennas on the building?
Our actual very first approach to East Point was actually August of 2007. At that point, interest was expressed by East Point, so we actually did a design visit in October of 2007. At that point, East Point kind of went quiet when it came to doing lease negotiations. So in April of 2008, we thought maybe it was the site out company that we were using, because we tend to use outside vendors. So we switched it and it became David DiStefano, who previously testified before the board.
And in April 2008, when you had Mr. DiStefano contact East Point regarding the status of the lease negotiations and the lease, what happened at that point?
It was basically, we'll get back to you. He had sent another copy of the lease. You know, we kept trying to get lease comments, phone calls, emails, and it wasn't until September of 2008 that we received the email stating that the board no longer was interested due to the fire officials. without an exact explanation of what the fire official's issue was with the site.
So it's your testimony that Metro PCS attempted to negotiate a lease for over a year before East Point came back and said, we're no longer interested.
Correct.
Is that correct? At some point, did Metro PCS determine that because East Point was unavailable, they had to locate another property to co-locate their antennas to serve the borough?
Yes, because we currently have no coverage in the area. So we explored the area. We saw the Crown Monopole, which is the location that we're at now in Stewart's parking lot, was available. It was extendable, and we moved forward with that.
So sorry, you said you're at that location now?
Well, I mean, it's the application that we have here tonight. Sorry.
And did PCS in 2008 undertake lease negotiations to secure space on the subject property?
Correct.
Metro PCS, and were they successful in securing leases with the subject property
yes.
owners?
And it's leases because we actually have two leases on the site.
Okay. The applicant...
What two?
Sometimes, even though a company like Crown Castle owns a monopole, they don't necessarily own the ground, so we have to go to a separate ground board to secure our ground space.
So in this case, you actually secured
two leases.
Is that correct?
So one's with the owner of the land, one's with the owner of the pole?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it's the owner of the land has a kind of like a property manager. So it's through them.
So it's a complicated leasing arrangement. Once Metro PCS secured those leases, did it move forward with its zoning application?
Correct.
And ultimately, the board declared this application complete, and mm-hmm. the applicant came before the board for the first time on September 2nd of 2010.
Correct.
During the course of the hearings on September 2nd of 2010, we introduced radio frequency engineering testimony, and our radio frequency engineer indicated that East Point Condominiums was a primary candidate because it's an existing tall structure. The board seemed to have some concerns with Mr. DiStefano's testimony because the time had elapsed between East Point saying, no, we no longer want you, and our actual hearing on September of 2010. As a result of that hearing in September of 2010, did you request that David once again reach out to East Point to confirm that they were no longer interested and still not interested in the site?
Yeah, we figured that given the economy and the fact that it had been 2 years that, you know, as good faith, we would reach out to East Point and see if there was any interest. And that letter was actually sent on September 21st of 2010.
And as a result of sending out correspondence in September 2010, what happened?
We received a call from Jackie Booker, who is the property manager, I guess, for Wentworth, that they were indeed interested. So we moved forward in October of 2010. I believe the correct date was the 14th was the, I'm sorry the 4th was the date we went and did the design visit.
He did another design
October,
visit.
Are you talking about now?
I'm sorry?
We now into October?
Yes.
Okay. He did another design visit in October of 2010, mm-hmm. early October of 2010. Was a draft lease provided to East Point or proposed lease provided to East Point back in October of 2010?
Actually, it was provided before we even went on the design visit. Once we got initial contact from Jackie Booker, we provided the lease to her then. Since we figured 2 years, she still has a copy of an old wireless lease lying around. So we gave her a copy of our lease. I was actually present for the design visit since I knew the fire officials were going to be there and they had concerns the previous time.
Okay. And after the applicant's September 2nd, 2010 meeting before this board, the application was carried to November 4th of 2010. Because your lease negotiations were ongoing, did you request that I would seek an adjournment of that November 4th, 2010 meeting?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And did lease negotiations continue beyond November 4th of 2010?
Yes.
And again, the applicant requested an adjournment and received an adjournment here to a December 2nd date of 2010.
Correct.
At that point, several months had elapsed since you've provided a proposed lease. Is that correct?
Correct.
Did you give the East Point board any deadlines with regard to our December 2nd, 2010 hearing?
We did make Jackie Booker and her and the attorney at the time, her last name escapes me, it was Jennifer, because at that time they had an attorney, Jennifer, on that site, and we were working with Jackie Booker. We made him aware of the present application that was before the board. We told them that we had a September 2nd hearing coming up on this site. December 2nd, coming up on the site, and we needed to, you know if this lease was going to move forward.
As a result of that, did the lease move forward? Did you get a signed lease?
No.
The applicant was next scheduled to come before this board on January 6th of this year, 2011. Did you again reach out to East Point attempting to secure a lease before that hearing?
Yes.
Did you secure a lease before that hearing?
No.
For the record, the applicant appeared on that evening but was not reached by the board. The application was again carried to February 3rd of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Were you still attempting to negotiate with East Point in February of this year?
Actually, at that point, we even asked, we used different in-house counsel for our lease negotiations that actually review the leases and give the final okay for us to sign them. At that point, we even had our in-house attorney reach out to East Point's attorney in regards to some language in the lease to see if they can come to a conclusion.
And having Metro's in-house leasing attorney reaching out, trying to move this forward, solve the problems, was that successful? And still, did you request of me that I seek an adjournment because of these continuing negotiations and adjourn our February 3rd meeting?
Yes.
And we did that. And we were carried to March 3rd of 2011. Prior to that March meeting in 2011, did you or Metro's counsel or yourself or Mr. DiStefano reach out again to East Point, giving them additional deadlines because of the upcoming hearings?
Yes, actually what happened was is Jackie Booker was not made aware by her attorney at that time that there was another lease in front of the board that we were asking for final approval on. On, I believe, the exact date, on March 2nd, after receiving an email from Jackie Booker stating that she would be moving this lease forward, to send her a copy of the most recent lease since she didn't have it, and the most recent lease was provided to their attorney back on February 9th. I provided the lease to Jackie, and I made her aware at that time that we were proceeding with our March 3rd hearing for this candidate at the Stewart's.
Was this attorney still Jennifer?
At that day, yes.
All right, and knowing that we were going to proceed with this hearing, did they enter into a lease agreement with you?
No. In fact, I did not get a response to my email.
Okay.
To Jack?
To Jackie.
At the conclusion of the March 3rd hearing before this board, the applicant was given the next available date for a continued hearing, which was April 7th of this year. Between that March 3rd date and April 7th date, did you again reach out to East Point attempting to finalize and secure a lease?
Yes, because at that time they then switched to another attorney by the name of Charlene.
Does Charlene have a last name?
Actually, my counterpart would know it.
Roberts.
Charlene Roberts was now the attorney. Oh, I'm sorry, it is right here. Was now the new attorney we found out on March 15th.
Okay. And because East Point had retained a new attorney and you reached out to a new attorney, did you have high hopes that you would secure a lease agreement?
Yes.
And in fact, did you request that I seek an adjournment of the April 7th meeting before this board so you could finally secure this agreement?
Correct.
Did you secure an agreement?
No.
When is the last communication that Metro PCS has from the East Point board property managers or their attorney? When did they last reach out to you?
Our last response was a phone conversation on March 22nd between with Charlene. At that time, we sent an email the following week for a response. No response. March 5th, another email was sent, and we told her on March 7th. I'm sorry.
You're starting that April 1st.
We've been here so many times. On April 5th, we sent yet another email requesting, you know, what's going on, basically, is what we asked them. We have a hearing on March 8th. You know, do we have a lease? We did not receive a response. I asked Michael to adjourn the 7th hearing. On the 8th, the March, April 8th, the email that the board president was referring to was actually from May with a final deadline of April 28th, and we have not heard from them. So our actual last correspondence was March 22nd.
And so for the past 6 weeks, East Point has not responded to your inquiries, and they've not responded to your deadline?
Exactly.
Okay. So as we sit here today, does Metro PCS have a lease with East Point?
No.
And the deadline to enter into that lease is coming up?
Correct.
I'm sorry, the deadline what?
To enter into a lease has come and gone. Going back now to the two leases that Metro PCS has entered into for the subject site, due to the, I mean, I know Metro PCS is attempting to be a good neighbor and make a good faith effort to reach out to the other only tall structure in the area to secure a lease, really at the, you know, not the request of this board, but the board had concerns. We've adjourned this hearing, these hearings, on four different occasions trying to secure a lease, correct?
Correct.
We haven't been able to do it. As a result of dragging out the application that's before this board, has Metro PCS had to begin paying rent on the subject site to two different landlords?
Correct. One in September of 2010 and one in January of this year.
Okay, so for the past 7 months, Metro PCS has been paying rent on the subject site without being able to use it, and to one landlord, and since January of this year to a second landlord.
Correct.
Has Metro PCS, during the 7 months of these hearings, been able to provide service to its customers?
No.
At some point, did Metro PCS decide that enough is enough and that we need to proceed with this hearing?
Correct, which is why we asked for some kind of answer prior to this hearing, which would have been March 28th, which April. Would give us a week. April. Sorry.
I have no further questions for Ms. Mahler.
So, whenever you tried to contact East Point, were you, did they respond and we're not happy with the lease for this reason, or did you just get silence, so they respond in silence?
Well, for the past 6 weeks, it's been total silence. But prior to that, especially with two different attorneys, we've gotten two different sets of comments. We're not sure if, even when our attorney reached out, if the negotiations from between Jennifer and our attorney were satisfactory. Truthfully, I don't know what the problem is with the lease. What terms are the problems? You know, some
but
of
you the, know that they've said there are problems.
Right.
Has Metro PCS tried to respond to those problems?
Correct.
And have you received any response back to your reaching out?
No, not in the last 6 weeks. In my April 8th email.
If you don't know the problems, how do you, I got a disconnect here somewhere with Mr. Beck's question. Uh-huh. You said you didn't know the problems with the lease, and then you said you addressed the problems with the lease.
She didn't.
Didn't you?
Well, again, I'm confusing something? The issue. Okay. Let me try to backtrack. Noelle, when the initial attorney for East Point was negotiating with Metro PCS, did the initial attorney identify problems with the lease?
Yes.
And did Metro PCS attempt to satisfy those problems with the lease?
Correct.
They changed attorneys. Did you ever find out if those efforts of Metro PCS to satisfy those problems actually did satisfy the problems?
No.
Okay, so they changed attorneys. You never found out if the first set of issues was resolved?
Correct.
And did the second attorney bring up that first set of issues again or ever clarify that first set of issues?
They were kind of cloudy.
Okay.
is the best.
I know you went to they went to another attorney. The second attorney raised another host of issues with regard to Metro's lease. Is that correct?
Correct.
And did Metro respond trying to satisfy those issues?
Yes.
And subsequent to that response, has there been any indication that those issues have been satisfied?
The current ones?
The current ones, no. So for 6 weeks now, you haven't had any response to your proposed solutions to their lease problems.
Correct.
And you still don't know whether or not that satisfies the original set of lease problems.
Correct.
Do you know for sure that they received it?
Yes, I had a red receipt.
And that was to the new attorney?
I received it from the property manager, but not from the attorney.
Is that your most recent email?
So your most recent email was from you to the property manager?
It was to the property manager and their attorney. I copied both of them, since we were working with both of them.
Okay, so, and you got the red receipt from the property manager, but not the attorney?
Correct.
So you don't know for sure if the attorney read it?
Exactly. I mean, all you have to do is click no. Okay. So.
Do you know when your attorney last spoke to their attorney?
February 9th. They actually had a conference call. Right after that, she came to myself and my boss and asked, because there was a business decision that had to be made. She asked if it was acceptable. We said, yes, you can send this to the other attorney, and she sent it to her. That attorney, Jennifer at the time. She then went on vacation for a week. So, because a week later, I had asked our attorney if she had heard anything. She said, no, she's on vacation. She came back, I believe it was February 23rd, give or take. It was a Monday. I asked her if she could follow up. She sent, she sent some emails. She put in some calls.
When you say she, are you referring now to Metro's counsel?
To Metro's counsel. Put in some phone calls to Jennifer. Finally, towards the end of that week, she received a response from Jennifer stating that she was still waiting for property management to respond. And then on February 29th is when David sent me an email from Jackie stating that she had not seen a lease, she would like to know what was going on, and can I send the most recent copy of the lease.
And who's David?
David DiStefano, who was
previously testified.
I'm wondering if you have formed the opinion that there's a disconnect between what you and your team is saying to their representatives and what their representatives are saying to them. The board.
I formed that disconnect when the president was sitting here testifying.
I mean, I know you can't control that.
Right.
I had the impression from what Ms. Davis said that the I don't know how important this is, but that the what I would consider the meaty issues, like how much rent and things like that, are behind you, and you were trying to resolve some remaining issues, like when to start, the security, what I would consider minor. Maybe they aren't, but is it true that the heavy stuff was done and you were trying to finish it out to get it signed? Is that a fair statement?
No.
So most of the corresponding between you and East Point was with their property management company.
Correct.
And their attorney, off and
attorneys.
On attorneys.
So it was apparently the same firm, but two different attorneys.
Okay, but I heard you say that back in February there was a business decision made over some of East Point's objections. You made it in favor of East to resolve the objection. That you sent that adjusted lease to them and hadn't heard back since.
We didn't hear back on that. We never resolved if that issue was satisfied with the language we sent. Because we never heard back from Jennifer after
right.
that.
Right, you never heard from Jennifer, and now we got Charlene. But the it's an issue of language over the issue. But this is worse than government.
It's difficult because of proprietary lease terms with a private lessor. So discussing money or insurance provisions or those kind of things are all proprietary.
So I understand.
Not to get into that.
You used the right word, disconnect. I mean, the president of the board said they want it. They're here saying they want it. And the people that
they're... And truthfully, Metro feels that East Point does not want it from the lack of these negotiations, which is why I'm here,
East Point wants it. Their engineer, I think it was Mr. DeStefanos, testified that it was a superior place to have it than the pole.
Yeah, he did.
On multiple occasions. And here we got the president of the board saying, well, we want it, and the lawyers and the managers are getting in the way.
Maybe it would be good to request a meeting directly with the board and not because you got people in the middle that apparently aren't communicating with their...
Call back. But she can't speak for the whole board.
Correct.
No, but she seemed fairly...
She can communicate with the board.
I mean, she wasn't equivocating them.
Because this May 11th hearing, this is that meeting that she testifies having. Mm-hmm. This is the first that we know about any kind of discussion, especially since...
May 11th.
Didn't she say May 11th?
May 11th,
they're having an election.
Their new board gets elected, the new member. It's the annual election.
Oh, okay.
But it won't change, but nobody's running against the incumbent, so there'll be the same board.
Okay.
That's what she said. So it's not going to be any bodies changing seats.
I thought she said we're going to discuss our lease. I'm sorry, I'll send it in back.
Well, outside of an email, was there any other effort, like physically, a phone call, people coming by there?
There was phone calls. There's been phone calls with the attorneys. Our attorney called their attorney. We've called their attorney, lack of phone calls back. So sometimes you just resort to email. If you can't get the person to answer the phone, you hope they'll open up an email.
So basically the dialect between the two lawyers has pretty much ceased? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Basically, our attorney was talking to is no longer working on this lease. It's a whole new person. And I actually tried to reach out to Charlene, the current attorney, myself, with no response from her.
But that was via email or phone call?
That was via email.
How long ago?
March 8th.
And you got a regular receipt on that?
From Jackie.
From Jackie, but not?
From the attorney. So for all I know, there could be a third attorney.
it does sound like there's a communication problem going between the two parties.
There's been a lease negotiation for 7 months and no movement.
I would think their board would also question why there has been no movement and not wait until there's a subpoena.
The board might think there is movement. It depends on what they've been... reported how they've been reporting
by
the situation.
By their management company, we have no idea. What's
clear, though, is that there has not been an impasse on the negotiations. It sounds like whoever's involved.
It's been silence. It hasn't been
silence.
It's been no go pass all.
There has been silence. We clarified that,
right.
But there it's not an impasse. It's not like you're not reaching an agreement. You're not reaching an agreement because there's not communication, and we don't know why that is. Because it doesn't sound like it's from the board, it doesn't sound like it's from you.
In fact, there wasn't in your testimony that you gave them a deadline prior to this hearing, and they didn't comply.
Actually, numerous times. Before every hearing, either whether we actually did come or adjourned it, we gave them the deadline of we need an answer to this lease. I actually provided with them 2 final leases saying we would not change it, and when they came back with changes, I said, okay.
it doesn't sound like, I don't think there's a problem with what you've done, or it was well advised or not. It sounds like, unfortunately, it didn't get through to the other side, the one who was supposed to make the decision. I mean, they have people running the show for them, and they present them with the product, and they vote up or down on the final product. But they've never seen, it sounded like she hasn't seen this lease or leases, which may be the old one, but not the new one. And I think what's striking all of us, anybody listening to this, is that this seems a shame that it's gotten to this point, because it's not getting through to the ultimate person supposed to hear this. So I was trying to mount the question, Mr. Beckley, you want me, I could call, I have a number because she called me because of the subpoena, her cell phone, I could call and ask if she wanted to come back and just speak to you for a few minutes, take a short recess, because it sounds to me like
she's got
all these women aren't talking to each other. That's what it's.
You don't understand.
Charlene and Jennifer.
And your side said this is our first choice. They say we want you, and then everything's going along a channel and stopping. It's not getting it. That's what it sounds like, and it seems a shame. I mean, we can't force you into a position like that, but it just seems a shame.
I understand that, but at this point, with two leases in place on another site, and I am currently paying rent, how much longer can Metro PCS go on with this? Our business is getting hurt at this point.
We can't answer that. But yeah. I understand it's a business call. It also presumes approval of the application.
Right.
So,
on either side.
But that's not, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
But I'm offering the caller if you want. I'm not going to call her if you don't think it's a good idea, but if they could call and if we kill 20 minutes and something positive happens, maybe that's better for everybody. At least that's a non-voter's view of what's going on. But it seems like
she and you are the ones that need to talk, because everyone else that's been talking hasn't gotten anywhere.
Now, this is that you're paying rent on. What happens to those if you don't get this application approved?
Metro PCS gets sued.
Metro PCS gets sued.
Because you lost?
Because not the application, the rental. But, well, I don't know. I'm sorry.
I missed that.
There are many issues with having an existing lease and lease terms and trying to enter into a new lease with new parties. Metro PCS has significant legal issues regardless of the outcome of this hearing.
But they knew that in February when they made the offer.
Or September when you entered into that. When this application was made in September, I believe.
Before.
It was made before September.
That was our first hearing night.
So you entered into that lease effectively assuming that you would be approved.
Yeah, they can.
Okay, well, that's the risk
you took. Do you want me to call and see if she's willing to come back for a few minutes and talk to you? We wouldn't be involved in the discussion at board.
Is that prejudicial?
Or we could ask one.
Prejudicial.
What?
You're offering to.
I'm just asking if she'll come back. I'll give you the number. You call her yourself. I don't care. I'm trying to make a suggestion I thought might be helpful. I mean, I don't presume to know all the answers.
We can take the number, but I think, you know, we should proceed with this application.
Well, we're going to finish the application and it'll conclude.
Right.
Right, and let's keep going.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
But I don't think there's any more questions of Ms.
Do you have any more questions of me?
Is it Marielle?
Noel.
Thank you.
Thanks. Mr. Thomas.
The testimony you give before this hearing, the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
I want to give you your name, spell your last name, and give you your address, please.
Yeah, my name is Robert W. Toms, that's TOMS. I'm a vice president with the MTM Design Group. Our address is 670 North Beers Street in Homedale. We're in building 1, suite 140.
Mr. Toms, can you please give the board the benefit of your education, professional experience, and any licenses you may hold?
Yeah, I graduated from the Pennsylvania State University in 1986 with a degree in architectural engineering, specializing in structural engineering. I am professionally licensed in several states, including the state of New Jersey. I've testified in front of hundreds of boards throughout the state, including Aberdeen, to name one that's close.
I'll offer Mr. Toms as a licensed professional engineer. Mr. Toms, did you prepare the plans that are before the board this evening?
Yes, I did.
Now, I'll note that the board previously marked as Exhibit A11 the MTM Design Group site plan. However, that marking occurred prior to a revision which was submitted to the board. So I don't know whether the board would...
Does this replace that one?
Yes, it does. There's no date in your exhibit markings.
No, I just did it. I did this for me, actually, more than anybody else, and that's why I passed it out so people could follow it.
Okay. So we can utilize the A11 marking then for the site plans, Mr. Baxter?
Hang on just a second. Is this here? Let's go do the new one and give it a number. And we'll just call it replacing A11. Is it this one?
Mr. Thomas, can you look at your site plans and call out the last revision date?
Yes, the last revision date is March 28, 2011, revision number two.
And that's, how many sheets are in that exhibit?
7 sheets.
Okay, so we'll make it are we up to A23. We'll read the MTM design architectural plans? Michael?
Engineering.
Seven pages.
And that's
dated
revision.
It's dated June 28, 2010, and last revised March 28, 2011. Right? So that's A.
And that replaces A11.
Right, replaces A11.
Mr. Tom, as you refer to your exhibits, please call out the sheet number so we know what page you're referring to on exhibit A23. Can you please describe the existing conditions of the site and the physical improvements that Metro PCS proposes?
Yeah, the existing conditions of the site is the Stewart's property in the northwest corner. There's an existing, let me go to drawing Z2. Z2 shows the property. In the northwest corner, there's an existing fenced-in compound that I believe is used by Verizon. Inside that compound is a shelter, an equipment shelter, and a presently 80-foot-tall monopole directly to the south of that shelter. What Metro PCS is proposing is to basically lease a 20-by-25-foot area and take a 18-foot extension in the north-to-south direction, level fence, basically join the existing south end of the fence with a new fence, and then have a 17-foot four return back to an existing fence along the westerly boundary. This would be an 8-foot-high board-on-board fence with a 4-foot gate towards the southeast corner along the east side. Inside the compound, they would propose to put a 7-foot-by-14-foot concrete slab to support four equipment cabinets. Two of the cabinets are approximately 3-foot by 3-foot and 6-foot by 3 high. And two of them are battery cabinets that are 2.6 by 2.6 and approximately 5-foot 9 high. These would be all lined up in a row. And if I go to drawing Z3, this will show an enlarged plan of this compound area. Additionally, inside this compound, along the south fence, would be a PTC cabinet that's simply a power and telco cabinet. The only thing this
carrier, like every other carrier, only really needs electric and telephone service, and those are the only two utilities they require. This PTC cabinet would be mounted directly south of the equipment. There would be one light for a technician. It would be on a timer. So when the technician comes in the middle of the night, he can turn a switch, 60-minute timer, work on the cabinets, and if he forgets to turn the light off, it will go off on its own. It's on the dial. From the equipment, there's a cable bridge, basically. You take the cabling from the equipment to the existing tower. And now, like I said before, the existing tower is 80 foot high. We're proposing to build it up 50 feet extra, so it become a 130 foot tower. Metro PCS would then, I'll show you drawing D4, install six antennas up at the top so that the center line of the antennas is 130 feet and the tops of the antennas are 132 foot 4 inches plus or minus. These antennas are 6 inches wide and a little bit over 4 foot 6 high. So in all honesty, it's probably more of like a 132 3 and a fraction. But it would be no higher than 132 foot 4. These antennas would face in three different directions. I believe it's east, south, and a westerly direction. Three sets of two. And that would basically provide the service they would require. A structural analysis was performed on this tower to determine if it would be adequate to support the proposed load, and it was found to be structurally acceptable. In addition to the installation shown, which includes the existing Verizon antennas at 80 foot and the proposed antennas at 130 feet, the analysis also included a possible third carrier at 119 feet. And with all this loading, this extra loading, it was still found to meet code requirement and be structurally adequate without any reinforcement.
How are the antennas connected to the ground equipment?
The antennas are connected using the cable. As I had stated before, the cables will go from the equipment cabinets along a cable bridge to keep it off the ground, into the tower, up the tower, to the antennas, and then it will hook into the antennas up above.
So the coaxial cables will be run interior of the monopole and will not be visible?
They will be interior and they will not be visible.
You indicated earlier that the applicant is proposing an 8-foot-high board-on-board fence. Is that correct?
That's correct.
The conditional use standards for telecommunications in the borough actually requires a 6-foot chain link fence. So one of the conditional use variances that we're seeking here is for a different fence, an 8-foot board-on-board fence. Can you tell the board the reason why Metro PCS is selecting the 8-foot board-on-board fence rather than a 6-foot chain link fence?
Yeah, a couple of reasons. First of all, there's existing board-on-board fencing on this site. Secondly, the equipment, the tallest equipment is 6'3". We're proposing a concrete slab on the ground that will be a few inches off, at least 4 inches minimum above grade to keep the equipment off grade. So we basically want to make sure that somebody outside the compound can't look from a standing position and see the top of the cabinet or cabinets.
When you referred to a structural report that was satisfactory for the proposed 50-foot extension and equipment, were you referring to the Paul J. Ford and Company structural analysis? It's been previously marked by Mr. Baxter as A12.